Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Books on the Move. My name's Danielle. Here on Books on the Move, I talk about books while I'm on the move in some capacity, be it taking a walk. Sometimes that's pacing back and forth in my bedroom or in the kitchen or what have you if it's cold outside or just don't feel like taking a walk at that moment, or driving my car. So today, I'm obviously pacing back and forth once again. The weather is slowly but surely getting to a point where we can really call it spring, but we still kind of have those moments where it gets cold again. And this morning it was down in the 30 degree range and it was freezing. It was freezing cold in the house. I actually wore shorts to bed and ended up just couldn't take it any longer when I woke up. I was like, I need to put some regular pants on because these shorts is just too cold to take it at the moment. And if you're wondering, yes, I did stay in my pajamas for most of the morning due to certain factors, which, don't really need to be explained. But anyway, so today I'm going to be talking about a book, The Virgin Suicides, by Jeffrey Eugenides, I think that's how you say his name. This is his first novel. I'm sure you've heard of it. If you have not, where have you been? So I just finished this book barely a minute ago. I finished the book and I didn't expect to finish it this morning, but because this morning, as I said, I was still in my pajamas. Long story short, I am awaiting something, and so in the time of waiting, I was kind of cleaning my room, but then I kind of wasn't feeling well, so I was sitting on my bed, and I decided to read while sitting on my bed, and again, did not expect to read as much as I did. I just expected to finish chapter 4 of this book. What the heck is that? Sorry, just looking at something on my dresser. Anyway, so did not expect to finish the book, but then I was like, well, chapter 5 is so short. If I finish chapter 4, I might as well just go on to chapter 5, which is what I did and finished it, wow, in a record time. I did not expect to finish it as quickly as I did. I hoped I would, but, so I have many feelings about this book and I feel so conflicted about all of them. So first, I want to talk about, as always, how I heard of the book, the things I had heard about it, what I expected from it, and all that fun stuff. So, I don't know exactly when I heard of this book, but of course, in an age of Tumblr, there were a bunch of GIFs created for the movie version of this, movie adaptation of the book. Also called The Virgin Suicide, starring Kirsten Dunst and Josh Hartnett. So I'd known like a lot about it, and it was always a text that intrigued me. I've been wanting to read this book for a really long time. It's just one of those books that I've had on my list for so long, and it kind of feels like there's a lot of books like that, and like, why haven't I read it yet, it's just been way too long. I always imagined it would be some kind of a poetic novel. In my head, I envisioned that. For the most part, it kind of was, but I guess we'll get to that. I actually got my copy of the book from Paperback Swap. And what I love about Paperback Swap is things like this, where inside my copy on the front cover, it says, "Happy birthday, Rob. I love this author. Hope you do too." And then there's a heart followed by the name Rachel. So that's cool. I really like that. Obviously, it has nothing to do with the book, but personal touches. It's great. So now on to the book, because I don't think I have much else to say apart from, I'd heard of the book, I'd really wanted to read it for a long time, got it on Paperback Swap a few years ago, and still never read it, and kind of what made me read it now, I'm trying to think. I forget exactly, but I remember when I picked it up, I was like, I feel like I really just want to read it now. Like, because I was going to read something else. And I was like, you know what? I can't wait. I have to read The Virgin Suicides. Like, it's been too long, like, that I've had this on my shelf. And to be fair, a lot of books on my shelf have been sitting there for too long. It's crazy to think about how much my bookshelf has grown in the last, like, 10 years. I used to have one small bookshelf that I didn't even have enough books to fit on it. And now I have a bookshelf stuffed with books and books kind of coming out of the crevices of my bedroom. Like, they're in the basement. They're on shelves in my closet, just like stacks upon stacks. How did I acquire so many books? I mean, paperback swap is partially due to that. You know, you can give credit to them. Thrift stores, and of course buying on Amazon, which I do far too often and need to stop. So, but all that being said, let's talk about The Virgin Suicides. So, like I said, I feel very conflicted about this book, so much so that, like, as I closed the back cover, I was like, usually, like, when I finish a book, I mark it read on Goodreads and I give it a rating. Sometimes I change that rating, but for the most part, I pretty much keep it the same. But with this one, I'm really going back and forth. I don't know how I could rate this book because I really don't know how I'm supposed to feel about it. And perhaps this podcast episode will be me working through those feelings. Basically, the book is about the Lisbon sisters. There are five of them. Let's see if I can name them all. This won't be an age order. Lux, Cecilia, Mary, Therese, and Bonnie, I believe. And the book is narrated by an unnamed narrator who is male, who lives in the same neighborhood as the Lisbon sisters and the family, and basically narrates this kind of year in the life with, you know, references to documents and stuff as if this is like a real life report, if you will. Basically talking about the year when the Lisbon sisters committed suicide. So the book starts with the youngest Lisbon sister, who is 13, committing suicide, failing the first attempt, and then a second attempt a few weeks later, and succeeding in the second attempt. So when I read this, I kind of, you know, I tend to flip forward in books to see chapters and how long they are, and I saw that there were five chapters. So my first thought was like, oh, so what this book is going to do is every chapter, one of the sisters is going to commit suicide. That did not happen. And my other thought going into this was like, the book does not like try to leave you in the dark about things. It very much up front says, by the end of the year, all of the sisters would be dead by suicide. Like, you know this is going to happen. You know by the title, it's going to happen. And in that way, the book was difficult for me because knowing that these suicides were going to happen, what I couldn't stop thinking about was, like, for me, like, I get kind of queasy about this type of stuff. And so just thinking about the gruesome ways these were going to be described, I mean, Cecilia's death was bad enough, but thinking about four other girls committing suicide and having to read about that was kind of traumatizing in my head. Not only that, though, but also in my mind, you know, seeing the reaction of their mother to the first suicide, all I could think of was, wow, all of these girls are going to commit suicide. These parents are going to be childless in a year. And all I could think about was that effect that would have on them and how sad that is. I mean, that is just unimaginably sad. I can't even, it's hard for me to even think about just death in general of those I love. And to think about, you know, your child who is just unhappy or feels the need to do something like this. It's just so incredibly heartbreaking. And for me, that was just something I couldn't escape on a personal level while reading this book. Now, of course, within the context, the Lisbon parents are super strict, and partially that is kind of pointed at part of the reason why the girls ended up committing suicide. And that's a big factor in this book, myth. Mythologizing things that we don't quite understand. And this book really mythologizes. I mean, the whole book is a mythology. It's basically, like I said, the narrator, who is unnamed, this boy, or this man reflecting on his boyhood, and, you know, the things, the gossip that went around the neighborhood, this kind of whisper down the lane, if you will, of books where he's basically taking snippets from other people, rarely from his own personal experience. I mean, toward the end, he literally is, like, quite literally there when the suicides happen, but he, for the most part, other than that, he is really not of any of the experiences that he, or the events that he speaks of. He's very much outside that, which is the point, obviously, that Jeffrey Eugenides was going for. And I think there is something beautiful about the mythology aspect of this, but also, like, the feminist part of my brain is like, the book never ever allows you to see these girls as human beings and doesn't want you to. But that's so frustrating to me, because what this does is that it, because basically the whole book is like kind of trying to distinguish the girls from one another. And really, at the end of the day, the only real sister that you can, you know, pull out of the pack is Lux. She gets easily the most attention by the narrator, which I'm still kind of confused about, but again, I guess that will just take some time to think about. But all the other girls, you know, they never, none of them feel quite different. I mean, the narrator assigns them different traits. Like, I think it's Therese who's very interested in trees, and who else? I think one of them is into, actually, I don't even know, because the book's not concerned with that. I mean, again, it's all about the mythology of these girls. It's not really looking at them as people. And I think the harm in this is that in fiction, sometimes we tend to use girls as sort of like they don't get to be their own person in general, let alone a whole book about them not getting to be their own person, but like what these boys think of them. And it was a bit disheartening in that regard. And I think there will be people who will say to me that I'm missing the point. And if that's the case, let me know. But I don't know. Whatever the point is, I don't think I quite got it. Because this book, like I said, again, the mythical aspect, you know, it made me think of a book like The Lovely Bones, where a family suffers a terrible tragedy in that their daughter is raped and murdered, and they never find her, ever. I mean, they find bits of her. They kind of know that something bad happened to her, but they never find her. And it's really sad, and the whole book is about, you know, that family's response to that death, and how it basically tears them apart. And what I loved about The Lovely Bones is how intimate it was, how it got up close and personal with the characters, not just the characters who were alive, but obviously the narrator, Susie Salmon, who was murdered. And it basically is a very human portrayal of death and how we understand and interpret death. This book felt like very similar to The Lovely Bones, in that we have a family, meaning the Lisbons, dealing with the death of their youngest daughter who committed suicide, and the sort of outsider perspective of them dealing with it. So it's like the outsider perspective of the Lovely Bones. The neighbors watching the family unravel. Because the book talks about, like, how the house starts decaying, that there's a smell from the house that spreads around the neighborhood, and it's all very, again, very mythic, a modern-day myth, if you will. And part of it, I think, is very intentional from the author, that, like, the way we understand the past is very murky water, because, you know, we're children, and our minds are not developed enough to, and never really are fully developed to have, you know, a well-established memory. But at the same time, this book is being written from the perspective of an adult man, and it never quite seems to understand that, like its own inability to, like, humanize the situation. Like, obviously it's talking about a young boy's, and, you know, perception of things, but it never kind of goes beyond that, and it never kind of tries to address that, if you will. The book is very much about kind of the shallow nature of talking about these types of situations, and how, you know, gossip, and in some small way, which I, again, I'm not sure of, but it seems like the book is trying to make a commentary on people and their lack of sympathy. Like, so nobody really tries to help the Lisbons, but actually that's not true. The priest does a little bit, but, like, nobody else really tries to do any outreach toward them, like, in the neighborhood. But it's difficult because, like, in that situation, like, sometimes you need to let a family grieve. And I don't know, it's just a bit of a stingy subject. I don't know. The author, Jeffrey Eugenides, has another book, which I believe won the Pulitzer Prize, called Middlesex. And I read Middlesex a few years ago, and it's not a favorite book of mine, but I thought it was very good. Middlesex is kind of one of those, like, grand epics that gets, like, super up close and personal. It's like a whole, like, family drama, like, starting with the grandparents, going all the way down to the grandchildren, and it's a very well-written book. But the thing about that book is that it's about a child who is intersex, and several critics kind of came at Eugenides basically saying, like, you know, he's a straight white male writing about this experience that he has literally no experience with, and apparently did no research on. Don't quote me on that, but I listened to a few podcasts and stuff about the book, and I believe they said that, but again, don't quote me. But, you know, in some ways, as I was reading that book, I did wonder, like, what is his experience with this? Like, because he wrote it so deftly, it was like, it felt as if he had experienced these things. And, you know, you wonder to yourself, you know, like, I mean, sometimes it's just the ability of the writer, but also, like, to get so close and personal to the point where, like, the reader is like, wow, this is really observant and beautiful, and he must have had some kind of experience, but no, he didn't. And so what I'm getting at by saying that is that, I just said that a lot, with the Virgin Suicides, it kind of feels like his first attempt into this realm of a situation that he doesn't know. Now, again, I don't know anything about this book. I mean, the process of writing this book, I just read it, you know, but it feels like with Intersex, Eugenides is writing about a situation from an extremely outside perspective, unlike Middlesex, which is, like, really not like that at all. But to have a lack of understanding of the people that he's writing about, and not putting in that effort to understand that. Like, because we never, and even the book even addresses this, that nobody really knows the Lisbon girls and why they did this. And it kind of like points at the end to like them leaving cards around with the Virgin Mary on them, and Cecilia had them, and it's ironic that they committed suicide. Spoilers at this point. It's ironic that they committed suicide a year, literally a year exactly, after Cecilia's first attempt. And, you know, how they kind of are all the same person. Nobody really can distinguish them, and how they all did it on the same day. Like, it feels like when I went into this book, I kind of thought, oh, they're going to make a pact, and I'm really interested to see their mindset behind it, and why they did this. In my head, if you're a virgin, I'm thinking they're all virgins, but that's not the case. But that didn't happen. It was, again, from this perspective of a guy that we never learn about. We have no idea who he is. And we never get this kind of, this insider look at these girls as, like, their lives. It's just his take on it. And I get that the book's trying to do, like, a kind of, like, mockumentary type thing. Again, it has examples that it cites, even though we can't really see them. And it has interviews. But the book, I feel like the book is trying to say something really grand. It seems like, almost like it's patting itself in the back the whole time. But then by the end of it, it's like, but what were you trying to say? Like, because at the end of the day, five girls killed themselves, and we don't know why, and we don't really know much about them, and it feels very kind of disingenuous. And perhaps that's the point. But I don't know, just, I went in definitely with some expectations, as one always does, and came out on the other side not quite feeling what other people felt when they experienced this story. The parts I did enjoy were, like, kind of this idea of the girls being trapped, mostly by their family. Like, for me, my other issue is that, like, that these girls were so, like, the myth structure says that you couldn't distinguish them from one another. But at the same time, the girls also were so indistinguishable that they all committed suicide, and nobody kind of, no sister questioned this. Like, that their personalities were so samey that none of them had differences of opinion on this. And perhaps they did, but we never saw it. And it was kind of frustrating because it makes it feel like the book's trying to do something so poetic with, like, but they all committed suicide because of the rigidity of their home life, and they felt trapped. Like, the book even says, like, that they felt trapped at one point, and that they thought that the world was incomplete and hard and would never be fixed. And that was the reason that they did it, probably. And I'm like, but we don't know that. And it kind of feels like you're not only mythologizing these women and not giving them their own narratives, but you're also, like, they're just a symbol and nothing else. And again, perhaps that's the feminist inside me speaking, because I have been doing a lot of reading a lot of feminist takes recently for the magazine I'm working on. But, like, I don't feel like it's much to ask to give these girls somewhat of a personality, because at least if the book had given us each their individual reasons, I think I would have been a bit more satisfied, because I think it would have at least kind of put them in a more human light, where the book kind of just is like, yeah, well, you know, we're these boys who really liked these girls, and they were all so perfect, and they unzipped our pants and, you know, took off our belts, and were kind of sex symbols to us before we even knew what that was, and blah, blah, blah. And it kind of feels like kind of patronizing when obviously the book is clearly not going for that. So I don't know. But, you know, it's one of those books that you read and it's, you know, obviously very well written and does have a quality that is hard to define about books, but that just speaks to kind of the literary nature of the book. And in that way, I enjoyed it. But at the end of the day, I feel super conflicted about it. And, you know, I don't know. My thought is that the book seems to be approaching this kind of grand narrative, but by the end of it, you're kind of left with what was the grand narrative. Perhaps it's meant to be like that, that death is so, not meaningless, but like, you can't know a person no matter how much you try. Maybe, like, I don't know. But anyway, sorry, I had something on my shirt. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I feel very conflicted. I don't know when I will be able to figure out my feelings in this book. But if I do, perhaps I'll do a small segment here on the podcast talking about it. Either way, I think I'm going to end the episode here. If you've read this book, let me know what your thoughts are. I wonder if there's anything else I want to talk about. And like I said, you know, it just felt like a very, the book was about these five girls, but yet it was so focused on male experience. And I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with that. But I also think that when we live in a world where girls are constantly overshadowed by boys' narratives, it kind of sucks that this book that had so much potential kind of landed in this way. I'm gonna stop, pause for a second, because there's a trash truck. So anyway, yeah. So I think that's about it for my thoughts on The Virgin Suicides by Jeffrey Eugenides. Again, I don't really have a rating because I just don't know how to feel. In my head, I'm kind of giving it a 2. But again, I don't have a rating yet, so I can't quite say. So we'll just see. But anyway, I would love to hear your thoughts on the book, what you thought of it, and if you liked it, and maybe make a case for it, because I would love to know. You know, for me, and this happens quite often, but, you know, I might not initially like to be proven wrong, but at the end of the day, I also love being proven wrong, because I love getting a new take on something and thinking about something in a way that I hadn't before, which tends to happen a lot, and it's very frustrating. But yeah, I would love to hear why you think this book is way better than I am giving it credit for. So I'm eventually going to watch the movie, which I have a feeling will be a little better because it will have the screen time for the girls, where the book is specifically from a certain perspective. So I'll be very interested in that. And I've always looked forward to seeing the movie, so it'll be a fun experience. And I'll talk about that at some point whenever it's on streaming or something. So, because it was just on Netflix and they took it off. Of course, right when I read the book, they take it off. It's fine. But anyway, so with that being said, I'm going to go now. Thanks for listening. And I'll talk to you all next time. Again, this is a part of the You Heard It First podcast network. You Heard It Here First podcast network. I don't even know my own podcast network name. Where my friend Brittany and I talk about books. It's a fun time. So you should go to the link in this episode description because we don't have a domain name yet. So it's a very long URL. So I don't know it by heart. So if you click it in the show notes, you will head over to our website, see all our podcasts, see past episodes of this podcast, and all that fun stuff. So thanks for listening, and I will talk to you all next time. Goodbye.
Yay!